Bibles, go to 1 Samuel this morning. We started last week. Actually, we started last April, but we came back to it because of my situation. But anyway, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 2 this morning, and we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah was in a situation. In her heart and mind, she was desperate. She wanted children, and of course, she could not have children. And that happened, of course, because God is the one who opens and closes the womb. Again, God was in control of that whole situation. And, of course, Pinnah, Elkanah's other wife, she had children and she kept taunting. The Bible calls her an adversary to Hannah, so she kept taunting her and stuff. And Hannah, she just got to the bottom part in her life, and she just got so low, she went and she actually sought the Lord again on this thing. She was at the temple. Remember, Eli came up and he was looking at her. She's praying. She's moving her lips, but she wasn't saying anything. So he thought that she was drunk, which was not the case. And of course, she told him. And so he'd say, well, he told her to go in peace. And he may have prayed with her. We don't know for sure. But nonetheless, after that, the Lord saw fit to open her womb. And of course, she made a vow before, and that vow was that, Lord, if you'll give me a child, that child's yours. So she had, in her heart, dedicated that child to the Lord before she even had a child, or before she had even conceived. And of course, God allowed her to have a child, and his name was Samuel. And after she had weaned that child, she took him and gave him to the Lord and put Eli in trust of young Samuel. And of course, as you have read the book many times, you know that Samuel did some great things for God. And that's what God is looking for, is people who are dedicated to Him, that really want to serve Him and walk with Him. And so we see this, and this morning we're just going to look at the first 11 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 2, and just see, and really it's a continuation. And you know the Bible, the chapters were set up by man, but this is just a continuation of this whole situation of Hannah. So we're going to see how she responds to how God has blessed her. And again, we ought to take heed to this, because this is the very thing that God wants to do in our lives. And so she's going to, in chapter 2, you're going to see her pour out her heart and really just praise the Lord. And Psalm 70 verse 4 says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. That's what we want, is God to be magnified in our lives. Is that right? Okay. So let's go ahead and read, beginning in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 11. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud, or exceeding proud, proudly, excuse me. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, or the bows, excuse me, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning as we continue looking in your word, and as we study the historical books, beginning with Samuel. I pray again that you would help us to have our hearts attuned to you, Father, seeking your face and knowing that there's something in this passage that we can use today. We can leave this place and it can help us to grow. And that's exactly what you want from each one of us, is to take upon ourselves and the ability to trust you in that, what you've given us to do, and to grow in that. And Father, I just pray now that you would help each one of us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So right here we see that she begins to rejoice in the Lord. And you know, the Bible tells us that we rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always, right? And what does that mean? Always. What is that really telling us? Do you practice that? I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't rejoice in the Lord all the time. I should. And there are times when instead of rejoicing, I get mealy mouth or, you know, just kind of down or whatever, and sometimes don't even think about the Lord. And that's a mistake that I believe many of us make. And God wants to teach us that no matter what situation we're going through, Hannah was in a situation, she didn't have a child, whatever that situation comes in our life, that we can still rejoice in the Lord and still trust Him because He knows best. And I think that's kind of what Hannah's learning. And as she goes to this point, and she's rejoicing in the Lord. So she just had given up her son in verse 28 and or 25, 26, 27, 28. She just turned Samuel over to Eli. And so here she is in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." And so here you would think that would be a time of sorrow, maybe mixed emotions. I can't imagine taking a child that the Lord just gave me, spending however many years it was to wean. Some people, when you look at the text and look at the Hebrew words, it's like it could be up to an adolescent. Now, I don't know. In our society, the way we do it, it's generally two or three or something like that. But nonetheless, when she turned him over, Samuel, praised the Lord. That's what it said in that last verse in chapter 1, verse 28. And so anyway, she turned him over, and I can't even imagine doing that. How many of us in this room would give up our child, bring him to the church, and say, "Here, Pastor, train him"? Anybody want to volunteer? Don't think so. But yet, nonetheless, that's exactly what she did. And so she's breaking out in song and praise. It's a time that she really understands that God is in control. You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he said this: "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." And so you can see her heart right here. She is just opening up and revealing of what's going on in her life. And she is really putting God on the throne in her life. She said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." And Psalm 97:12 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." You know, that's what God is. He's holy. And that's our problem, is we, because of Adam's sin, because of what he did, you know, obviously Eve was deceived because Satan came in and he was subtle. But Adam knew better, and yet he still disobeyed God. Because of that disobedience, we all have that same problem called sin. God is holy. We are not. And we need to keep that in mind all the time as we as Christians are walking in this world, that we serve a holy God, and what He did for us when we put our faith and trust in Him was He took a sinner doomed on his way to hell, and He took and He transformed him just like that into a saint who is holy. That's the only way we can get to heaven, is being holy. Now, none of us have that point where we have arrived for sure, but we ought to be striving for that point. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So every time we think about what God has done in our lives, we get up, that ought to be the first thing we think about. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for being the God on the throne. Thank you for helping me and encouraging me and leading me. She said, "Mine horn is exalted in the Lord." Horn speaks of strength. And you may see this many times in the Bible in different places. And Psalm 89:17 says, "For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted." And that's what God does. He'll take those who are humble and He exalts them. Those who want to be exalted and don't humble themselves, they're not going to be exalted by God just by this world and what the world thinks of them. And it's a different kind of an being exalted. It's God who wants to lift us up and to help us. And Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." There's a lot of things, metaphors, that describe our Lord right there in that passage. And we think about that and think about our rock. Think about our fortress. Think about Him being the deliverer. He is my strength. What does that mean? Well, first off, that is a personal relationship with God. He can't be your strength if you don't know Him. And once you put your faith and trust in God, He will lift you up and He will encourage you and He will strengthen you and He will move you forward as long as you're looking to Him and trusting Him. He says in that same place, "My God is my strength." He says, "In whom I will trust." Trust is the key, isn't it? When we learn to trust, then obedience follows. If we can't trust, we can't be obedient. Because trust says, "Hey, I know that God's in control. I know that He's wanting me to take this step. I don't understand it, but I'm going to take it." And then you'll follow through with obedience. And God will provide and bless you through it. She said, "My mouth is enlarged over my enemies." When we're defeated, we have nothing to say. But Hannah, she said her mouth was enlarged. I think that speaks of a testimony. You know what happens when God blesses you? You know, it just spills over, doesn't it? I mean, don't you want to tell about what God's doing in your life? How He's moving in your life? How He's changing you? That's the thing that we're challenged today. And I want to challenge you, and I told you I'm going to do this probably for the rest of this year, every service, is that you, when you leave this place, you should take something out of this place, out of these two doors, and that week that you have, you ought to find something to grow yourself. Why? Because that's why we're here, is to be challenged to grow. And when you do, and you step in faith, you'll come out and your mouth will be enlarged, your testimony will be heard, and it won't be about what I accomplished. It'll be about what God has accomplished in your life. And that's what she's doing here. She's just sharing what God has done in her life. She said, "I rejoice in thy salvation." That, again, suggests a close relationship. You know, that's what we can do today. Do you rejoice in your salvation? Do you go back to that point and remember that day that when you realized for the first time, you probably weren't in a good situation. You probably weren't things going too well. Usually that's what it takes, is for you to get so low that you have to look up. I remember the day I got saved. And it was like my last chance. It's like God said, "You've heard this so many times. If you don't get it right now, I'm done with you." I don't know if that's the case, but that's the way that it was impressed upon me. And I was at a point where I didn't really know. And I was struggling really bad. In fact, my wife, when I came home from work, it was a Wednesday night, I think, or might have been a Monday. It was a revival. Anyway, she said, I went and jumped in bed. She says, "You going or not?" And she had all the kids, four of them at that time. Dressed, had baths, they were dressed, ready to go, and I'm laying on the bed, and she says, "You going?" And I sit there, and I thought, well, I really don't want to go, and I said, okay, and so we went. But I know that God can do something in our lives if we let Him. In Psalm 71:23 says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed." Again, the testimony of what God's doing in your life. And I want to encourage you too. Your testimony, if you've been saved for 30 years, that's great that you're saved. But if that's all God's done in your life, then you're not walking too close to God. He ought to be doing something in your life all the time. Now, I know that there are times we take two steps back. It happens. We all do that. We got the battle of the flesh, right? But nonetheless, if you've been saved for a period of time, there should be milestones in your life that God has done something miraculous. Maybe you made a commitment, and maybe God changed something in your life. So your testimony ought not to be always, "I'm so thankful the Lord saved." That ought to be, "Praise God, I like that." But what has He done last week? What did He do last year? Is He doing anything? And that's, again, that's all part of walking with God. So magnifying His name, that's what she did, verse 2 and 3. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." Again, actions speak louder than... That's right. You know, we say we trust God and we believe in it, but what does our life say? Are we willing to trust Him, or are we just going to trust us, ourselves? I've got to do it. I've got to get it done. You know, I've learned a long time ago that when we trust ourselves, it's a lot harder. And often it ends up in failure. But when we trust God, He promises that He'll take care of us. And He does. So she is praising God, and she's sharing some of God's attributes. First, His uniqueness. Excuse me. My mouth feels like, you know what it feels like. Anyway. And He's God. And, of course, He's the only God. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You know, there are many people have many different gods. All these, the Babylonians, I was looking them up because we're studying the book of Daniel. And they had 10 that they listed real quick. And there are more. And I can't even pronounce their names. But there are a lot of them out there. And that's what happened to a lot of those heathen or godless folks, nations. They had many gods. But we know there is only one God. And that's the God Almighty. And that's exactly who she's speaking to, is the God who can do things, the God who can hear, and the God will move in people's lives. Then she talks about His holiness. The best place I can find in the Bible talking about His holiness is how when the throne was high and lifted up, the seraphims responded in Isaiah 6:3. They said, "Holy, holy, holy." That reminds me of the triune being of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That He's holy, and all three personalities are holy. It says, "Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And Isaiah responded when he saw the seraphim and when they were speaking. He said, "Then said I, woe is me." You see, that's the whole thing. That's the thing we need to understand. When we can realize the holiness of God, we realize who we really are. It's something I learned a long time ago. The closer I get to the Lord, praise God, it's a thing. It's exciting to see that happen in a person's life. But the closer I get, I realize I pale as compared to our Lord. I'm not nearly as bright when I'm way away from the Lord, because I think of myself as somebody, you know, maybe I did this or I did that. But when I get close to the Lord, I realize I didn't do anything. It's He that's done it. And, you know, that's exactly what Isaiah saw. In fact, he said, "I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And that's exactly what Hannah, I believe, is feeling in her life right now, is that God is so holy. She said, "He is a rock." And, you know, this is repeated over and over in the Bible as a symbol of God's strength. Moses saying in Deuteronomy 32:4, "He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His..."